Hello and welcome to my fortnightly podcast. Tom McSweeney here. Podcasting is becoming a big part of the media. People like to listen when they want to, not necessarily when they have to, according to a schedule. And this is what our podcast is all about. Listening when you want to and hearing what we hope you like about the maritime sphere. On this edition, there's a lot of variety, from a song about being a deckhand on a trawler out of Dunmore East, to the story of two of the oldest maritime clubs in the world being both in Ireland, and a just-in-time rescue by a lifeboat in Castletown Bear on the West Cork coastline. I was interested to hear that a bankers not being all that popular nowadays, had bought a lifeboat for Ballyglass in County Mayo. And it's always good to hear positive news from the offshore islands. All that is included in this podcast from my This Island Nation radio programme. I liked the deckhand song. Marine Times editor Mark McCarthy recommended that we play it. It was a cold, wet day just after Storm Callum had made an unwelcome visit when I drove from Athlone on the winding roads around Loch Ree to the second oldest yacht club in the world. Not too many people may be aware of it, that Ireland has not one but the two oldest yacht clubs in the world. The Royal Cork at Crosshaven in Cork Harbour claims the title of oldest and will mark 300 years of its existence with special events in 2020. Inland, near Athlone on the Shannon, is the second oldest club, Loch Ree. There I talked to Commodore Garrett Leach, whose family have their own piece of history in sailing. His mother was the second woman in the world to become Commodore of a yacht club.
Yes, you're very welcome, Tom. Welcome to Loch Ree Yacht Club on this blustery, wet day. Yeah, Loch Ree Yacht Club is the second oldest yacht club in the world, dating back to 1770. Although it's well documented that in the 1730s and even before that, there were organised sailing events held on Loch Ree. So these would have been mainly held probably by the British Army, as Athlone was a garrison town. And as with many of the yacht clubs, the older yacht clubs in Ireland, the sailing activity would have been, I suppose, taken over by the ascendancy in the local area, who would have pursued sailing as a sport on the lakes.
Athlone Yacht Club was the name for quite a long time.
Yeah, so it was called Athlone Yacht Club, it was called Killinure Yacht Club, and all of these amalgamated at one point. The current location here in Ballyglass, where you are at the moment, records go back to the first regatta here having been held in around 1836 or so.
And you have your own particular type of boats that are well known here on the loch.
Yes, we do. We have the beloved Shannon One designs, or the SODs, which are sailed here in Loch Ree, but also in our sister club, our younger sister club, Loch Derg Yacht Club as well, down in Dromineer. So yeah, the Shannon One designs were they were designed in about 1920 by the English boat designer Morgan Giles, and a delegation of I suppose Loch Derg sailors and Loch Ree sailors commissioned Morgan Giles in about 1920, 1921. And indeed, one of my own family relatives was part of that original delegation to commission the Shannon One designs.
And as you mentioned, the younger yacht club down in Loch Derg, your family is very notable in sailing, because Garrett, your brother John, who broadcasts here on our own radio programme regularly, is the Commodore down in Loch Derg. You're in Loch Ree, and your mother was one of the earliest, if not the first, women to be a Commodore.
Yeah, that's correct. My brother John is he's the current Commodore down in the younger club down in Loch Derg. And yes, I'm Commodore here. So together, we dominate sailing on the River Shannon. And yeah, our mother was also Commodore twice of Loch Ree, once in 1976 and then again in 1993. And we believe she was probably the second lady Commodore in the world, pipped by a couple of months by another club.
A great history for a family, great history. Turning to the club itself now, what are the principal interests in the club? Junior sailing, I suppose, because a lot of clubs are having difficulties in keeping young people in the sport.
Yeah, so I suppose the active fleets here in Lough Ree would be, we have a cruiser class, mixed cruisers. We have obviously the Shannon 1 designs, which at a typical event, we could have anything from 10 to up to 40 boats, depending on the event, but also junior sailing. So on the junior sailing front, we have Optimus. We have double-handed boats, mirrors, 420s, and some lasers. Now, I suppose from junior sailing, the dreaded but beloved Optimist, which is a necessary evil for all junior sailing. We're a smaller club, so I think to get the level of coaching and to get the Optimist sailing competitive in Lough Ree has been difficult for us. So we've always had to travel. But we are a lover of the double-handed boat. So mirrors and now 420s are featuring quite a bit. And this year, for example, we held an event in July called the Double Ree, where essentially it was aimed to be a celebration of double-handed junior sailing. So we had the 420s, we had the mirrors, we had the RS Fivas, and we had the newly formed 29ers as well. So we had them all out racing in Lough Ree, and we had almost 60 boats racing on Lough Ree. So that was a really good celebration of double-handed junior sailing.
The club would then seem to be particularly interested in keeping the motivation of social involvement in sailing when you have more than one person in the boat.
Absolutely. I mean, again, I go back to Double Ree. It was, I think I described it as, it was like the electric picnic of sailing. So we're lucky at this club. We have quite a bit of land. We have many fields so people can camp, bring campers. We also have jetties for our boats here as well. So there was a festival atmosphere here. And it's very much a family-based club. It wouldn't be uncommon to see, for example, three generations of the one family in a Shannon 1 design out sailing. So very much fun-based and family-based.
Lake sailing particularly can be very demanding. I remember talking around the corner, if I may say, to the lifeboat people a few months back, and they made the point that people don't sometimes understand lakes and understand the particular demands it makes of people.
Yeah, well, we hear that quite a bit. It is true, and particularly in lighter airs, it can be very shifty, the winds.
The club then is a very strong club. Looking at it, it looks a good strong club, a good support in Athlone.
It is. So yeah, our main catchment is Athlone, and we sail throughout the winter, particularly juniors. They'll sail throughout the winter. Like most clubs, country clubs, and like Lough Derg, so we would have a Dublin membership as well. But we would have about 250, 300 members, but predominantly locally. And that's critical for the survival of Lough Ree, to have local participation. So we go to great efforts to try go to local schools to make sure that we do the tri-sailing, the Irish sailing tri-sailing, to try and get children in on it fast. So we're looking what comes behind us. So we're always looking to ensure that we will have steady membership of good sailors coming through in time to come.
Garrett Leach, Commodore of Lough Ree Yacht Club on the banks of the Shannon at Athlone. From there we travelled further westwards to Clew Bay and the island of Inish Lar, where Rhoda Twombly lives. She's Secretary of Cogall Ilona Hare and the Islands Federation. Storm Callum breached the seawall there, and Rhoda makes the point that the storm season seems to be coming along earlier every year, but she also has some good news for the islands.
Here's hoping that everyone got through Storm Callum with a minimum of damage, if any. There were dramatic pictures of the sea trying to eat piers and roads. And here in Inish Lar, the seawall was breached, and only for serious sandbagging there would have been damage done. Seems like storm season is getting earlier all the time. There is good news for the Gaeltacht co-ops and development companies. After several years of lobbying for additional funding to support their work, the announcement that €500,000 was granted in the 2019 budget was most welcome. The funding from Minister McHugh's department is to be administered by Údaráis na Gaeltachta and shared between the 29 members of the Association of Cooperatives and Community-Based Development Cooperatives, or CCPB. The Gaeltacht cooperatives suffered serious funding cuts over several years, so much so that the future of some was threatened. This announcement comes after months of groundwork and lobbying politicians in Dublin, where meetings to discuss the needs of the co-ops were discussed. CCPB Cathaoirleach Cathy Gill of Inishmore is delighted with the result and notes, "We are indebted to Conor na Gaeilge and all others involved with help in organising the meetings." She stresses that the attention to this matter and, of course, the funding by Minister Joe McHugh is very welcome and appreciated. Also in Dublin to meet with Minister McHugh and his officials was a delegation from the Aran Islands worried about the future of the air service to the three islands. The public service obligation contract expires in December, and there have been serious concerns about the continuation of the air service between Inverin in Connemara and the Aran Islands. However, islanders were assured by Minister McHugh that he is determined that the fixed wing air service continue without interruption. There was a wide range of topics and presentations at the recent European Small Islands Federation AGM in Brussels. Ireland's islands were strongly represented by a delegation of 8 members who met with their MEPs and fellow European islanders to discuss challenges facing all islands. Presentations on the Clean Energy EU Islands Initiative, Islands Sustainable Mobility, the future of CAP post 2020, and working towards smart islands were of great interest. Additionally, Thomas McFadgen of GRETB spoke on secondary education on islands, and Irish delegates contributed to updates on branding of island products as well as entrepreneurship. It was a jam-packed schedule, so delegates came home armed with the information to benefit from several EU initiatives. Let's hope the weather doesn't hold any more nasty surprises for us for the next while, but for now, it's Slán from the islands.
Rhoda Twombly there. Next, a song about the sea. A nice wee tune, as my colleague Mark McCarthy, editor of the Marine Times newspaper, described it, suggesting that we should play it on this island nation. Martin Travis sings about fishing on a trawler out of Dunmore East.
You're down the harbour at the dawn while all the world's asleepin'. You rub the sleep out from your eyes, there's no place to be dreamin'. Let the ropes go fore and after, engines ticking over, and soon you're steamin' for Minehead. A deckhand on a trawler. You feel the wind is getting up, the forecast steady blow, and as she's steaming to the west, she starts to pitch and roll. Through the darkness of the dawn, still ploughing through the water, and you're away to earn your pay. A deckhand on the trawler. Let her go, boys, and head away to sea. Leave the lights of Dunmore East upon her quarter. Let her go, boys, and head away to sea. Leave the lights of Dunmore East upon her quarter. All day long we shoot and haul, we cut and wash and stow, and we try to keep our balance as we put the fish below. There's time to sleep and on your feet, you think your arms will fall off. You wonder why you e'er became a deckhand on a trawler. Let her go, boys, and head away to sea. Leave the lights of Dunmore East upon her quarter. Let her go, boys, and head away. The lights of Dunmore East upon our water. Your wages and your working hours are governed by the weather. Through winter's gales to summer's calms, you'd swear would last forever. Never know when you'll be home to your lady waiting for you. You wonder when you'll see her next. You're a deckhand on a trawler. Let her go, boys, and head away to sea. Leave the lights of Dunmore East upon her quarter. Let her go, boys, and head away to sea. Leave the lights of Dunmore East upon her quarter. Heard the fellas talk of the calling of the sea. lads leave to work ashore, but they all came back, it seems. From early childhood I have dreamt of life upon the water. So here I am at last, me boys. Hey, a deckhand on a trawler.
Let her go, boys, and head away to sea. Meet the lights of Dunmore East upon her quarter. Let her go, boys, and head away to sea. Meet the lights of Dunmore East upon her quarter. Let her go, boys, and head away to sea. Meet the lights of Dunmore East upon her quarter. Let her go, boys, and head away to sea.
Meet the lights of Dunmore East upon her quarter.
And if you want to hear Deckhand on a Trawler again from Martin Travis, it's on iTunes, accompanied by video and photographs from William Power and Christine Simpson, and some of pretty rough weather at sea. Ballyglass on the County Mayo shoreline has a new lifeboat, and it has been provided by money from a bank. Now, banks may not be particularly popular these days, but this one is the Central Bank of Ireland, the state in other words, which has financed the new boat in an unusual way, as Niamh Stevenson, Public Affairs Manager at the RNLI, tells us. And she also reports a dramatic rescue on the West Cork shoreline when the rapid response of a lifeboat crew averted tragedy.
The RNLI in Ballyglass have named their new D-class lifeboat Clan Lear. The lifeboat has its provenance in the terrible tragedy off the Mayo coast in March 2017, where the crew of Rescue 116 lost their lives. The lifeboat, which went on service earlier this year, has been funded by a donation from the Central Bank of Ireland. The Central Bank had scheduled the launch of its 2017 annual mint set, which paid tribute to the work carried out by the Irish Coast Guard and Irish Lights, for March 2017. However, the launch was postponed following the tragic loss of the crew of Rescue 116 on the 14th of March 2017. Following the tragedy, the Minister for Finance agreed that the proceeds from the sale be donated to a nominated charity. The RNLI was selected as the main beneficiary due to its close alignment with the Irish Coast Guard and the Commissioners of Irish Lights. Almost 4,900 annual mint sets were sold up to the end of January this year, and a donation of just over €74,000 was made to the RNLI. The proceeds have been used to fund the new life-saving vessel at Ballyglass, with the remainder going towards crew kit and training. The name of the new lifeboat is one close to the heart of those in the Belmullet community, as it was chosen by Sophie Riley, a pupil at Belmullet National School. Pupils in the school were given the task of nominating a suitable name for the lifeboat. Three names were shortlisted by the volunteers in Ballyglass RNLI before the Central Bank of Ireland picked Clan Lear. Ballyglass RNLI lifeboat operations manager Pádraig Sheehan is rightly very proud of their new acquisition. As lifeboat stations go, Ballyglass is quite young, having been established in 1989. The volunteers work from two stations, providing lifeboat crew for both inshore and all-weather boats. The Irish name of the new lifeboat, taken from an Irish legend and chosen by the young schoolgirl in Belmullet, symbolises family and heritage, two strong themes in the search and rescue community. We wish Ballyglass well with their new lifeboat and hope she will bring many safely home. I wanted to mention a call out that happened this month involving Castletown Bear RNLI. Often lifeboat call outs can pass by unnoticed or unremarked. There are literally hundreds of them each year. But this one could have been very different. The volunteer crew were requested to launch following a Mayday alert that a 25 metre fishing boat with six people on board had lost power and was drifting at the entrance to the harbour in Castletown Bear. With every second counting, the lifeboat, under coxswain Dean Hegarty and with four crew members on board, launched immediately and was on scene within 5 minutes, at which point the vessel was 20 metres from the shore. The boat had been blown into a small area by Piper's Rock at the harbour mouth in southwesterly 8 to 9 gale force conditions and amid a 4 to 5 metre swell. The lifeboat crew quickly worked to establish a tow line and remove the boat and her crew from immediate danger before bringing them safely back to Castletown Bear. Given the weather conditions and how close the fishing boat was drifting to the shore at this point, the lifeboat's timely arrival managed to avert a potential tragedy.
Thank you.